Hello and welcome back to the Pretty Little Podcast. We're your hosts.
My name is Phoebe.
And my name is Caroline. And today we are recapping season 7, episode 17 of Pretty Little Liars called
Driving Miss Crazy.
Driving Miss Crazy. This episode was crazy. There were several moments in this episode that I want to just put out there after our conversation last episode. These moments weren't spoiled for me. And this is what's so beautiful. It's like you can spoil the huge moments. You can spoil the whole Spencer thing for me. But you're not going to somehow also give away that Mona sings Jailhouse Rock during an Aria black and white dream sequence where Ezra gets the shit beat out of him. Like that, I never saw coming. You know what I mean? Like, I thought the musical episode kind of things were behind us. I thought the noir episodes were behind us.
I forgot about it.
So that was not spoiled for me. And another big moment in this episode was not spoiled for me. And I just think
that's crazy. Two things to say. Okay. One, I have two things I need to rave about really quickly.
Rant and rave.
Rave is the wrong word. I need to be. Okay. I'm annoyed. I'm peeved.
Oh, okay. Then it's literally the opposite of what you mean. Okay.
Number one is related to this. Guys, I didn't say anything on the Tuesday episode. I said something on the Patreon. I was trying to give Caroline a little bit of the feeling that we all had in 2017, or whenever you watched this for the first time. I just wanted her to have a little bit of like, oh my goodness, that was not Spencer. Mm. And instead, you guys thought that I just was an idiot.
And I took this very personally, you guys.
Yeah, I did. Everybody which thinks is, I'm stupid.
Which is always so funny to me. It's so funny to me, considering out of the two of us, you are the least controversial.
Just to clear the air and get my like Pretty Little Liar fan card back, mm-hmm. I knew that that wasn't Spencer. Mm. But I didn't know how much Caroline knew, especially at that point at the airport. So I didn't want to give it away. I wanted you to have some of the surprise.
And I
even though
Phoebe,
I knew you knew about Alex, but like
I told Phoebe on the Patreon, I guess we'll never know. You know, because this could just be Phoebe covering her tracks down. We'd never know. But I said, if this is the truth, Phoebe, if you're not deceiving me right now, turns out you're a great liar, which is also how I would never freaking know if you were telling the truth right now. Well, turns out everywhere I go with Phoebe, I now have to bring a polygraph examiner. Do you know how expensive that's going to get? But yeah, well, what else am I going to do? Just doubt everything that comes out of her freaking mouth?
About being like, I know it's like, oh, well, you'll never know if I'm telling the truth right now. But like, I'm normally pretty good about like, I mean, I've been called Spicoli my whole life. Like, I'm pretty good at owning up to like being an idiot.
That's true.
So like, this is one of those instances where I know I'm not being an idiot. And so it is hurtful.
Oh, Phoebe's literally, are you actually hurt?
Hurt's the wrong word.
Okay, I hope.
Peeved.
Peeved is fine. I'm peeved almost every week once we put an episode out and I get any sort of feedback.
I know. I don't even want to look at any.
Well, don't
any
worry,
comments.
Phoebe. We may have primarily not about you.
No, but I mean, like from Tuesdays, from like the episode that went up today, the episode for you guys that went up on Tuesday, I'm like deliberately, I don't want to know anything that anybody said about it.
Is it because we talked about Sabrina Carpenter so much and you're afraid people don't agree?
Yeah, that's why.
Okay.
But here's my other fear. This
is a free country.
This isn't a fear, actually. This is just the other thing I have to rant about really quickly. Okay. I was sitting at a light today.
Okay.
This is actually making me irate thinking about it.
Oh, God. I can see we're in for it.
And it's a new right on red. No right on red. Like, forever it's been, like, you can turn right on red at this light.
Okay.
And if this incident that happened today had happened a month ago when they didn't put in the second sign that's literally on the light that says no turn on red, I would have not been angry and I probably would have turned.
Okay.
But because there were now two signs saying no turn on red, mm-hmm. and I was the first car there, I'm not breaking the rule.
Yeah, no, of course.
Because I don't know if there's a police car could be coming where I'm not coming from the other direction, perpendicular to the light.
And even more so, it's called just do the right thing, even when nobody's freaking
watching. This car behind me, and I gave him the benefit of the doubt the first two times. He lightly honks.
Okay. Did you? And I was like, you had your blinker on.
I had my blinker on. It's a right turn only lane, but again, no turn on red.
Mm.
And I didn't do anything. I was like, I know he's telling me to go, but like, I can't. So sorry. Like, sorry, buddy. Honks again. Still friendly. And then he starts honking like angrily. And I was just like, you are. And then I watched him run a red light. So I'm like, you don't even. It's just like.
I wish you also had watched him get pulled over.
I wish. It's just like so irritating. And I couldn't even like, I didn't even know how to like. Do I roll down the window and he's not going to see what I'm pointing to? But like, I hope he realized that I was the one following the rules. And just because you're comfortable breaking the rules does not mean everybody else on the road has to be comfortable breaking the same mm-hmm. rules that you're comfortable breaking.
I actually probably would have just like gotten out of my car, walked over to his window.
I did go like this. I Good. Did well, throw my like, hands I'm up in the air. And then I saw him and his car go.
Okay. See, this is where. Never mind. I was about to like satirically suggest that people get out of their car and teach the car behind you a lesson. That's actually a terrible idea. Phoebe and I have been talking about road rage quite a bit.
I was afraid he was going to get out of the car.
I don't know what I would have done. If he would have gotten out of the car, that is the thing. I'm like, go for it. Get out of the car. And all these cars around are going to start fucking filming your ass. Go for it. No, get out of the car. I want you to. You know, like, go mm-hmm. for it.
And I just, what also bothers me, I was walking into the house after it happened and I'm like, that guy is never... He's not going to remember that he honked. So he's not going to have like, I just hate when you know no. that the satisfaction of someone learning their lesson.
No. He'll
isn't going to happen.
Because if he honked that many times and that aggressively, when he returns to that same intersection, where obviously like he goes through this intersection often enough that he was convinced it you could turn right on mm-hmm. red.
Which
like,
I understand.
So he will definitely be back there. And what's going to happen is he's either going to be stuck behind another person who's doing what you're doing. And he's going to start his honking thing and be like, why is this happening every time I'm here? And then he's going to, it was a man, right?
Of course.
So he's going to look up from his fucking, he's going to get out of his own thoughts for 1 second. Stop imagining that there's no other reality where he could be wrong. And he's mm-hmm. going to see that there's a sign. Or he's going to be the person there and he's going to fucking turn right on red and he's going to get pulled over. Like, I promise you, or he's going to get, if there's a traffic cam, he's going to get a ticket in the mail. Like, something, he will figure it out. And I guarantee you, he will be like, oh, fuck, how many times have I honked at somebody? How many times have I, like, flicked somebody off or whatever? For this, and I was actually wrong. He will have that moment. You won't get the satisfaction of knowing it happened.
Exactly.
But it will
but
happen.
It's just like, do you really think that I... First of all, do you think that after you honked the first two times, I'm... if it wasn't a no turn on red, if you honked those couple of times, do you really think I would have stayed there?
Yeah. Well, the other thing is, I'm sorry, and I've had this up before. Just because you can turn right on red doesn't mean you have to turn around red.
Exactly.
So, like, there are a million. It's like, my I call. Remember when, yeah, exactly. When some people, like, first got their license, and it was like, I remember it was like, oh, be careful, turn. Like, you could, like, wait to turn right on red until you've been driving for a little bit because.
It's also like in Mount Lebanon, you can't turn right on red anywhere.
Wait, yes, you can.
No, it's like a thing in Pennsylvania. Mom always says it. There's a sign on, like, every light, no
yeah,
red
but
on red.
If there's not a sign, you can turn right on red.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
You're making
but
me
I
think
mean
this
it.
Was, like a blanket
I'm just saying
thing.
most lights
the light
in Mount
I'm
Lebanon.
Thinking of is the light coming out of Virginia Manor. You can turn right on red.
Yeah.
And that was the first time I learned that rule. And it was also the first time Mom said, well, you shouldn't turn right on red. You're too young. So it's like, what if I was, like, so terrified that my mom was going to find out I turned right on red?
It's also, like, it is... I also am the first car in the line, so you don't know what I'm seeing. You don't know, part of why they made it a no turn on red is because you have to basically pull into the intersection to be
yeah,
able
to
see if you can go, and it's a safety hazard because all these cars are parked mm-hmm. and there are a bunch of trees and you can't see around it.
One thing I will say, it doesn't work for this situation because it's a right turn only lane, but I've started not turning my blinker on. If it's a turn right on
I
red
do that
place,
too. I
but
do
I'm
that
gonna get nervous
too.
About it, and I know I'm not gonna go right away. I just don't turn my blinker on until I'm like, oh, silly me, and then I turn it on as I'm literally turning.
I do that too
because then you can't be annoyed with me for just. I exactly. just found out I was turning. I'm lost. I'm not a local. I didn't know where I was freaking going. Anyway,
so those are my like little rants today. It's just like. And it's always a man. Every time
well,
I'm annoyed
course,
in the car because of someone else on the road, it is 100% of the time a
and
man.
Almost every time I'm annoyed at all, it is 100% of the time a man. You know, almost. Well, one thing I want to say before we get into this episode is that Mom calls me today. And we're
Mom called me today, too.
okay, it's not a competition. Anyway, we're having this little conversation. That was a joke. That was a joke. Laugh. Yeah. just kidding. I just want to make sure you weren't mad at me. It's harder to tell these days with Phoebe. Anyway, mom calls me and we're talking and she's like, yeah, I started listening to your first ever episode. And I thought to myself, I mean, maybe I should start watching this. I said, oh my God, no, mom.
Guys, you guys
I can't
need
think
to
of
know,
a better time to start watching the show that we are about to finish recapping. We've been doing it for 3 years. She's just now thinking maybe she should start watching it.
That means in 4 years she will start watching Gossip Girl.
Yeah, well, and then she goes, and then, you know, as I listen, I'm gonna send you guys my edits on the episode because I'll watch the episode and then I'll listen to you guys and I'll send you
no,
guys
mom,
my edits.
Don't do that.
I said
do not
oh,
do
okay.
that.
Okay, well, you know what, scratch all of our plans, scratch any plans we had for what comes next. We're just gonna start it over from the top and we're gonna recap them and add in your edits and that'll be the new podcast. But how
like,
fucking
mom,
funny
you
and
wanted,
classic is that?
If you wanted to have creative direction over the podcast in any capacity, you needed to be watching the show.
Yeah, she's looking for a new show to watch because she finished Younger, which she tried to put off as
Younger,
long as she could.
Of course.
And then she goes, and then you know what I realized? I can just watch it again. Oh, so cute. And she said that's what she did when she realized she only had like 2 episodes left. She went back and like rewatched some of the other episodes that she liked just to like hold it off a little bit longer. And then she realized... Stop. It's not over no, forever. Guys. I can watch it again. And I was like, true, guys. But you can also watch Pretty Little Liars.
That makes me so emotional.
I know, it's so cute. It's so cute.
But also, I think that we honestly, like, this is pretty predictable mom behavior.
Oh, yeah. I mean, hello. Yes. It's so funny.
To say, I think I'm going to watch it. And also, like, you should, but do not give us more work to do if you do
no,
it.
No, don't, like, involve me in that.
And,
like,
and also don't text us and be like, don't mention anything in the episodes that you think sounds weird. I don't hear it.
Don't
I don't want to go back
tell
and fix it.
Phoebe that she sounds like she's in a library. Okay, this was recorded 2.5 years ago.
Don't tell me that some of the cuts sound weird. Don't tell me that I should have taken stuff out or left stuff in. Don't do that.
Don't say that we should have sworn less. Like, the podcast already happened.
But I literally, okay, when I was editing that episode and I like put in the original audio, I literally thought it was in 2x speed. Not because of how fast we were speaking, but because of how high
I
we
know
were speaking.
Phoebe, that's what I was saying. Our the pitch of our voices, it's like, what happened to us over the past like, 3 years? We've
I
used
really
our voices so much that we've lost those notes. We're unable to access those notes anymore. Upper
I
register.
Really hope that people listen. I put the ad break between the new part and the original part, so I'm really hoping the ad break plays for everybody to
because
kind of as a palate cleanser.
Completely
because
a dumpster
it's jarring.
Otherwise,
it's jarring listening.
You might fall out of your chair if you,
you might crash
don't.
Your car.
Oh my God! Yeah, it's fun. It was fun to look at how far we've come. All the excitement. That's what I meant when yesterday I was like, the light was still in our eyes. Like that really is what it sounded like. Our spirits hadn't been broken. They haven't been broken. We love doing this. We've gotten more comfortable. You know, we've figured
we're
out.
We're giving the person sitting at the back of detention who's like been around the block a couple times.
Yes. And that first season, that was like she's sitting front row in class and she's saying
and
present
yeah,
when
exactly.
the attendance is called. Yeah.
Exactly.
Present, not here.
The teacher.
Yeah, absolutely. So kind of just like how I was in school. So anyway, I am on the recaps. We're going to get into it. But before I do, I have to remind you guys. This episode marks the last normal cadence episode. So here's how it's going to go. Next week on Thursday, you're still getting a Pretty Little Liars centered episode, but it is not going to be the next recap. We want to just elongate this and enjoy our final Pretty Little Liars fall, magical time of year. We want to enjoy it with you guys. So next week, you're going to get a punch bowl. And this is not a punch bowl that's already on the Patreon. It's going to be brand new for all of your ears on streaming. And we're going to talk about a few different topics, things that we've wanted to get into, kind of reflecting on the entire show up until this point. And then the following week, we will return with a recap of season 7, episode 18. And we'll continue with that until we finish the show. So it'll be every other week for the last 3 episodes of the season. And then we'll have some extra episodes at the end as well to kind of wrap it all up. Because God knows we can't just move on from Rosewood at the finale, we will have so much to dive into. So that's how it's going to work from here on out. Tuesdays stay the same. You're still going to get your podcasts. Patreon staying the same for this month. Go join it. Enjoy. And if you haven't listened to our episode from Monday that we were just talking about, Phoebe and I re-listened to our first ever podcast episode, as cringy as it was. And we also rewatched the pilot and we sort of did a little pre-episode episode that we stitched in there and released on Monday. So if you want to go listen to that, it's on streaming everywhere. And I think that's it. All right.
I have an idea for the Patreon.
Okay.
For this month.
Okay.
I watched a documentary this weekend on Netflix that was insane. And you've probably seen it a little bit. It's called Unknown Number.
Nope.
The high school catfish story. And it is giving A a little bit.
Whoa.
But it's a true story. And you can't foresee the ending if you were paid $1 million.
Oh, well, I do love things like that. Okay, so, well, since we're doing a punch bowl on streaming this month, I wonder if we swap out the punch bowl for something like
Y'all let us know what you think. We could also do that as the pilot if we wanted to.
I know, but I just know we're running out of pilots. Our Patreon structure is going to be changing, and there just are some shows that we've wanted to do. Next month, I really want to do Buffy.
For October?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yep. Okay.
Sounds good.
All right, guys, let me get into the recap. I'm going to go through character by character, starting with Aria, who was recruited by the A-team and joined. So currently she is out doing A's bidding as part of the game, but the other girls don't know that it's part of the game and they don't know what she's doing, obviously. And this only worked because Aria is the true weakest link. All right. She's receiving these insane deepfake messages from A that she absolutely can't stop watching because she's horrified by her own appearance, and I would be too. And as part of her anus, the last thing that she had to do was destroy Emily and Allison's nursery. Yes, you heard that right. Emily and Allison are with child. They're having a baby. And so Emily has revamped a room in the De Laurentiis dungeon to be a nursery for their child using old furniture and clothes and baby things from hers and Allie's childhood. And it's just so sweet. Emily is going to move into the house. Things are looking really good. Allie told her she loves her. Like, things are looking up. So Aria just had to come in and completely fuck that up. Spencer botched just about everything, which we kind of knew, because the night of Archer's murder, she used his card at the Radley bar while she was seducing Detective Floozy, unbeknownst to her. And the cops are onto her. So she's being interrogated, and the girls are pretty pissed off at her because if she's being looked at for this, that means they are also being looked at for this. And of course, she ropes everybody else into that. And we can't forget that we learned that Mary Drake is Spencer's real mom. Sorry, Vivi. It's Mary Drake. Hannah and Caleb are back together, and she's feeling kind of guilty and responsible for Spencer's big fuck up that I just referenced, because the night of that was also that infamous scene where Caleb is begging for Spencer to let him in and Hannah is listening, and oh, it's terrible. So Caleb and Hannah together, they go to the Radley. They destroy all the credit card slips by flooding the basement storage room so the cops can't use those credit card slips to nail Spencer using Archer's card and therefore being involved in the murder. Hannah is currently defending Lucas to the end. It turns out he was the only investor in her fashion line. He was hoping others would jump on board, but now she's pretty much drained him of all his money and is also living in his house. Where is he living? No idea. We also find out that he and Charles were friends as kids. He was not aware that Charles and Cece are the same person. And he wasn't aware, obviously, of what Cece was sort of doing to the girls. But as kids, they created a comic book, and it was all sort of about, like, getting vengeance and whatever. And there was a second comic book that didn't have the ending finished, and Lucas can't find it. So he's very nervous that Cece has that. Lucas was also solidifying the girl's
CeCe's
alibi.
CeCe's dead.
Right. What? AD has it, not Cece. Lucas was solidifying the girl's alibi for the night that Cece was killed by saying that he was with them all night, but we actually found out he went back and retracted his statement, so the girls don't have an alibi anymore for that night, and now the cops know that, or the cops are gonna know that. Hannah has also asked for Mona's help with the game. Mona's feeling a type of way about it because she feels like she's only brought in when the girls need her, and then she's cast out. She's never really part of the group, and I just want to say, Mona, you can always sit at my lunch table. You can be in my group anytime you want. You don't have to ask. I would be lucky to have you. I think that's everything that's really, really important. So, Aria and Ezra are getting married despite everything, but I can't get into that. Let's get into the episode. We begin with Aria and Ezra taking salsa lessons.
One thing I'll give Aria credit for in a special kind of way is she can't hide anything.
Oh no. She is 100% herself 100% of the time.
Yeah, and there's almost part of that you have to admire just a little bit.
Well, like, except the fact, I guess, that she is currently being A and she's hiding that.
That's true.
But not very well.
But you know what I mean? Like, the way that she's like, she can't even feign kindness to her husband.
No.
Future husband.
No, she can't. And later on, when he kind of like says to her, I can tell you're sort of not into this anymore, she seems baffled. She's like, wait, what? And I'm like, dude.
She thinks she's doing a really good job.
Here I was thinking this was the end of Ezria. Like, not really, but it could have been. If I was watching in real time.
She's like, or Ezra is like, did I like step on you? Like, you look like you're like in pain to be here. And she goes, my shoes are too small. Okay.
And Ezra is
I asked for
so
a size 4.5. These are a 4.
And normally it would be fine, but I think these are cheaply made. I will say, if you've ever had to break in character shoes or Leducas, it is hard. It is hard. I'm like, Aria, why did you buy neon tangerine salsa dancing shoes? They're hilarious. The outfit that she's wearing is exactly like an outfit I would have sent on Stitch Fix when I was a stylist for Stitch Fix. This is like it was so hard because everything available was like the same. Like, it was like a sleeveless navy top, polyester tube skirt, and you would just like send variations, and so that's what this is. I would not have sent the neon tangerine shoes, but that's fine. Anyway, we find out that Ezra's brother, I forgot his name for a second, Wes has been bugging him because Ezra's mother, who we know to be a total freaking joy, doesn't like Wes's girlfriend, and she's and the girlfriend's name is Crystal, and I know that that's one of the things she doesn't like about it. And she's afraid that if Crystal's still with him on the wedding day, I kind of couldn't understand this part. She said she doesn't want Crystal in the family photos.
And if she is, Ezra's afraid that their wedding photos will be like blacked out a little bit around the house or something.
Yeah,
because he said the word blacked out.
I was so not clear on that. So now Wes is trying to get Ezra to like make a deal, I guess, to get the girlfriend at the wedding, but not have their mom. No, I don't know. And it doesn't really matter. The point is, Ezra's got to go deal with this. And as soon as he's leaving, Aria's like got 3 missed calls from the deep.
And so she decides to just call FaceTime on speakerphone AD back right now.
Just in the dance studio. She's like, can I have the room, please? Can I have the room? Oh, my God. Actually, kind of smells in here. And can we all wear deodorant next time? Thank you. And maybe, I don't know, we try changing our shoes out in the lobby and not in the dance studio. All right, thanks, guys. Let's keep that ventilation moving. She calls the deep fake and the AD holds up the file, Aria's file. And Aria, for like the 15th time, is like, I am done torturing my friends. Aria means
and
nothing,
then AD's
she says.
Like, AD's like, I don't know. I have a gift that I need to be dropped off at Spencer's house. And she's like, anybody but Spencer. Can Hannah go again?
She goes, Spencer's been through enough. No offense. I know she just found out about her mom.
Yeah, but Spencer seems low-key thrilled about that and pissed about like her family.
What we should talk about on the Punch Bowl next week is like who actually had it the worst. Like who really got the shortest end of the stick with A.
Yeah, that's a good idea.
Because as of now, I mean, look, they've all had crazy shit. I'm giving it to Emily or Hannah at this point.
Definitely.
I
mean,
don't
even
know
put
if
in the
I'm
hospital.
Giving it to Spencer. Yeah. I mean, Emily, like, even Allie, like, even though it's all, it is all Allie's fault. Hey, girls.
Yeah.
You know it's
hey,
all
Emily.
Allie's fault, right?
If I'm Emily, I'm pulling that card every time.
If I'm Emily, I'm pulling that card every time. Like, and if I'm any of Emily's friends, I'm like, and why are we just signing on to 18 years with this monster?
Right, and Allie's just in New York, not right. here dealing with any of this. She needed a break.
Oh, right. Well, I'm so glad she's doing that.
I'm
break.
Glad it's not her turn.
I'm so glad. Yeah, exactly. So Aria's going to have to deliver a gift to Spencer and her family. And when Aria pushes back, because Spencer's been through too much, A turns up the heat and is like, well, maybe the best man could use some of this in his toast. And she pulls up Aria's file. And I forgot about this, but way back when, Aria like filled out a report that referred to Ezra as a twisted, conniving predator, and that she wanted the Rosewood police to formally charge him for exploiting a teenager when he was in a position of power. And I just want to say, Marlene, very brave of you to remind us. There are two moments in this episode where they remind us of things that Ezra's done that I'm like, if I know how this story ends, I'm just not bringing this up again.
I know, I agree.
You know what
I mean?
Especially
when you want us to root for them.
You want him to be the good guy in this moment, and like, we want them to succeed, but you're going to remind me of all this insane shit. So she never filed it, but she did fill it out. And Arya either has to deliver that gift, or I guess A is going to file this and Ezra will go to jail. And she'll get married and sell block 17. And this is episode 17.
Wow.
Look at that.
We go to Lucas's loft and Floozy knocks on the door and Hannah answers. And Hannah, here's what I want to say about the girls. They always do this with the police. When the police starts asking them questions that they're related to them and they know it and they're guilty of something, their instinct is to act mean and like subtly defensive in a way that I think they think makes them seem like, see, we're confident and we're cool and we're stern and whatever, but I think it just always makes them look more sus.
Yeah, I know. And I guess like, if I'm giving it the benefit of the doubt a little bit, there is the part of it where it's like they've been dealing with this for so long that at some point it's like they're on first name basis with these cops. They're aware that Spencer's like sleeping with this one. Like the amount of respect I feel that these girls would actually have for the police would be zero, just knowing what they know in the history. But don't you need to play the game a little bit? Like, do you want to go to jail for murder? Like, just fucking pretend. You know what I mean? Like, just put on your nice girl act a little bit. At the same time, girls, you are involved in literally every crime that happens in Rosewood. Can you blame these cops for showing up at your door? My thing with these girls, though, is, like, they don't say enough times, I'm not answering that without a lawyer president. President?
I'm not answering that without a lawyer president.
I cannot.
And let me think. I need a president who was a lawyer, and that's all I'll take.
Okay,
that is
Brian
all
Friedman.
I will take.
You know what? With our nation, no, but they probably would elect him.
He wasn't president.
I know.
He doesn't count?
I'm saying he could be.
Don't manifest that.
Believe me. I'm not. But anywho, they also always let them in. So at this point, Floozy's like, can I come in? She's like, of course. It's like, no. You say no.
It's
you
insane.
Can say no. The other thing I need to say, and like I immediately was just so annoyed with Floozy because he goes, oh, did I wake you up? Bitch, she's holding a cup of coffee. You didn't just wake her up. She might be waking. She's like, it's the morning. She's not dressed yet. But she's got a piping hot cup of
coffee. Not everybody in this community. Not okay, now you've contaminated
me. I've given
me.
It to you. I'm sorry.
Not everybody in this community has a murder to solve. So she's like just enjoying her morning. So just chill out.
Like, did I wake you up? It just seems so annoying. Like, obviously not. She looks freaking drop dead gorgeous. And she's holding a cup of coffee. She didn't make it
while
she was asleep
in bed.
She's
about to get into the freaking shower. She's ready to get in the shower.
Anyway, so he comes in and he brings up the incident at the Radley on Thursday, the flooded basement storage room. And he says there was a witness that saw Caleb and Hannah there that night. And he goes, there's a witness that saw you and your friend Caleb. And I just like wanted her to be like, he's actually my boyfriend. Like, I just thought it would have been such a funny moment. Boyfriend, actually, thank you. I don't want any confusion about that anymore. Okay? Things have gotten a little too dicey.
And he's basically just like insinuating that they had something to do with the flood. And then she's like, you know what? I can't talk about this right now. I'm literally right about to get in the shower. And Caleb comes out and he's like, oh, your turn.
Yeah, okay, great.
Why
you can
are
take
you
your shift.
Acting like this?
I know. So Hannah kind of fills Caleb in. And Caleb's like, well, yeah, it's not weird for me to be at the Radley. I'm not surprised somebody saw me there. I live there. And Floozy's like, okay, well, you're also here. Like, why are you living in a hotel? So Hannah explains that her mom manages it and like offered Caleb a room to upgrade the security system. I thought this was stupid. Why are you're giving more information than you need to? You could just be like, he's not from here. We're dating. My mom owns the hotel and she just gave him a room. Like,
I don't think it's that complicated at all.
You don't need to say that he helped with the security system because obviously the next thing Floozy's going to say is, oh, well, that's funny because the security system you set up was down for 10 minutes, the same 10 minutes the flood started. Like,
I wonder if her logic was like, I mean, he probably already knows that.
I guess maybe. So Floozy spoke with Ashley Marin last night. He's going to keep talking to them. And he says that we may have lost one item, the receipt, but other compelling evidence has surfaced, which sends Hannah into a tizzy.
And then we go to the Hastings Castle. We find out Allie is in New York with Jason, and Emily and Spencer are organizing a bunch of boxes for the Hastings to move to Harrisburg, and they're selling the house and everything. And Peter comes down and is like, hope you'll come visit him. And then they find Spencer's baby blanket from Radley. Yes.
But I do have to say, like, there are a couple things that are so funny. One is Spencer's like, why did Allie have to go see Jason today? Like, why?
No, literally. Why did this have to happen? Thing.
Emily snaps, I'm glad she's in New York. She needed a break. Right, because none of you guys would need a break from it. I can't imagine why one of you would need a break. And then Spencer's like, okay, well, things are only going to get worse before they get better. Emily goes, oh, no, no, no. All the books I've read said the nausea stops in the second trimester. Emily, stop it. Obviously, she's not talking about your baby.
Honestly, for Emily's sake, thank goodness she has this kid, because that's the biggest issue in her life.
I know.
In her brain.
She's like, this is nothing. Try motherhood. you think being stalked and tortured by A is bad? Try motherhood. Anyway.
So, try co-parenting with Allison DeLaurentis.
She's gone. I don't know if she's coming back. Hell, I don't know. How would I know anything about
her? She tends to leave after she kisses me. So, like,
she loves to just leave and come back when she feels like it. It could be years before I see her or my child again. Anyway. So the thing about the baby blanket that's interesting is it says property of Radley Sanitarium. And this was a moment because Emily goes, was that in the dumpster pile? There's like a keep pile for Harrisburg and a dumpster pile. She goes, was that in the dumpster pile? And Spencer goes, yeah. And it seems like Spencer didn't put it there. And it's like,
what
makes
is like,
her
that's
sad
where I'm
that
like
that's
to
where
Peter.
It was.
Because I'm sure it was Peter that put it there.
Mm-hmm.
I don't give a shit that it was from Radley. Like, that's your kid's baby blanket.
Exactly.
You keep that.
So it's just like, it must have been what I was brought home in. It's either you keep it or why do you even still have it? You know, if you were hell bent on hiding this and you didn't want Spencer to ever figure it out, we just probably should have disposed of the blanket the day we brought Spencer home and set her up with a nice Barefoot Dreams one instead. You know what I mean? Like,
yes.
Not that hard. Not that hard for Hastings.
And so we go to the De Laurentiis dungeon and Hannah is freaking
out. Because Hannah texts. She says,
out.
Need to play that game. Now! So that's why they go quick.
And she wants another turn badly. And Spencer's like, girl, it's just not how it works. And then Hannah goes, Hey, Aria, why haven't you had a turn? And Aria's like, I don't make the rules, Han. So,
Aria is in no position to be as rude as she is to Hannah in this moment.
Aria is sitting down.
I know. And she's just like so annoyed, rolling the eyes. When it comes up that she hasn't had a turn, it's like, I don't know, maybe because I've been through enough. Like, it's like that kind of, I don't know, Han. Maybe because like I'm planning a wedding and I know that it's expensive and timely and costly and stressful. Oh my God, I'm a best-selling author now. Like, anyway, but Hannah's really freaking out.
Oh
she's
my
like,
God, imagine the conversations that she slips that into.
No, I don't even want to.
So then we hear a noise and Spencer's like, what the fuck was that? Mona comes in and Mona says, it was just me. What did I miss? And Spencer says, an invitation?
Yeah, that is so, Spencer is so furious and nasty. I mean, an invitation? And Hannah's like, look, guys, Mona knows about the game. And they're like, and why is that, Hannah? He might as well like punch her to the ground.
Even Emily.
Goes, because we need her help. She's brilliant. She knows the answer before you even ask the question. That's right, Hannah.
You know Spencer was like, broke out in hives.
I know.
When she heard
Spencer
that.
Spencer was like, she's brilliant. I'm your best friend. I won the golden orchid, remember? I won the golden onion, remember that?
Firmly dressed, that's it?
They're like, it was for Melissa. She goes, did I get caught? Yeah. Thank you. That's what I'm talking about. Really smart. Really sneaky, really smart. Mona goes, well, the question is why you waited so long to ask. And for that, I have no answer. But I love that the second Mona comes in and is involved, Aria's like, oh, fuck. Like, Aria recognizes that if Mona's involved, Aria's situation just came very precarious. Like,
I think
if
it's either that.
Figure it out, it's her.
I think there's an aspect of it that's that, but I also think she is probably worried that Mona could be the one doing it.
Yeah, I think that too. Yeah, totally. Either Mona's gonna find out because she's so smart, or Mona already knows because she's on the A team. So that would be scary. And Emily tells Mona, it's not Trivial Pursuit, okay? There's a missing body. And Mona suggests they stop putting their time into the dead body and focus on the living one. So this is when Aria perks up. She's like, oh, you think you know who AD is? And Mona says she has a short list. It starts with Jenna Marshall and ends with Mary Drake. And Spencer just still, like, cannot get over the fact that Mona is even breathing the same air as her. She's like, we don't need your theories, Mona. Because as soon as she hears Mary Drake, she's like, not my mother. Don't speak about my mummy like that, Mona. That's sort of like what she says. And then Mona's like, I need to remind you. Who keeps getting you out of these fucking messes? I replaced the windshield. That makes me an accessory to your crime. And if you think I'm going to leave my fate in your fumbling hands, you've been smoking the drapes. That okay, Mona. Got her.
There were some crazy one-liners in this
episode.
What
the heck does smoking the drapes mean?
I don't know. Getting high,
I guess. But, like, what are drapes?
I think it, I mean, like, I know the obvious answer.
Well, of course, curtains, but I don't mean drapery. I don't mean like that. I mean, like, maybe I've never tried smoking curtains before. Maybe it's crazy. Maybe it's actually a crazy drug that we need to be learning more about.
Okay.
Smoking drapes is not good, kids. It's not good. Anyway.
At the Radley, Caleb bumps into Ashley, who is back from some sort of trip with a Bob.
Okay, sleek ass Bob. She
okay,
said,
edit
I'm
for the
back.
TikTok this week. It's B.O.B. start calling her Bob.
Calling you the Bob, Bob, Bob. And it's her walking out and does like little flips and stuff. Yeah, for sure. I mean, she looks good. And this I hate though. Caleb goes, Ashley, Mrs. Marin. And I was like, that kind of interaction is usually saved for like movies where it's like Chad Michael Murray and Jamie Lee Curtis in Freaky Friday, and it's like he's hitting on the mom and then he realizes
exactly.
Oh, she's the mom. So I didn't like that really.
Amber just sent us something of, sorry, I'm not trying to be distracted, but I just saw the clip and I had to click, of Vince and Morgan cuddling on the bed, of course, like they have been, but then Vince puts his hand like under Morgan's shirt and starts like rubbing her arm. Are you out of your mind?
They're doing it before she before one of them leaves. They're before Vince leaves. I except for I could really see Mickey going home, but anyway, we shouldn't talk about this right now. Okay, so Ashley tells Caleb she's concerned. She wants to talk to him because she just had a meeting with the Rosewood Police Department and the support staff, and they specifically asked that Caleb didn't attend. And she asks if he knows about this flood. And he's like, yeah, I heard. And I have nothing to do with it. Neither does Hannah. And apparently, Floozy keeps circling back to Caleb because he thinks Caleb did it to protect Hannah and her friends. And this part, like, I am so iffy on.
Me too. I felt the same way.
This really got me. I don't know how I feel about it. Because Ashley's like, look in my eyes and promise me that Hannah's not in any trouble. And he does. And I just don't, I mean, I don't know what you're supposed to do in that situation.
I think maybe his reasoning is like, if I tell Ashley anything more, she's going to want to get involved. And
then
Hannah's going
to
be
like,
in more trouble.
But also she has to cover stuff up then. Like if he says anything to her about Hannah being involved, then suddenly all of Ashley's interactions with Rosewood PD become secretive. She has to like omit the truth a little bit, you know, like I just, but it's still, I just don't like that he looked her in the eyes and lied. Like,
I agree.
Oh, it makes me stressed.
At the Hastings Castle, Spencer and Vivi are packing, and Vivi's on the phone with the realtor, and the realtor's like, if you can't take that fucking swing out of your backyard, you have to cut the whole tree down.
And while you're at it, burn the place to the fucking ground. We'll redo it. I kind of hate the vibe. So then Aria shows up, and she's got a bunch of food. And she's dropping
it
off for Vivi and
Spencer. If my friend spoke to my mother the way that Aria speaks.
Wait, what does Aria say? I missed it.
Well, it's not what she says. It's how she says everything. Like with that shitty smile where she's like, oh, I can't stay. Thanks.
I know. And that's funny because I honestly was like, I was watching this scene, you know, intently. Because any scene where Aria is interacting with a mother that's not her own, I've got my defenses raised. But here's the thing. I actually thought this wasn't that bad for her, which just goes to show how much we fucking hate Aria, because even when it isn't that bad of an interaction, we're like, and this just goes to show how deplorable this bitch is. Like, we just go in.
Exactly. And Aria comes in, like Caroline said, with takeout, but she can't stay. And then Vivi goes upstairs and Spencer starts venting about Mona and Hannah. And this is how I know Aria is so, like, out of character, out of sorts right now, because she is so wrapped up in herself and what's going on that she starts being nice about Mona.
Oh, yeah.
She's like, because Spencer's like, I can't believe Hannah would do this. I can't believe Mona's involved, all this stuff. Mona's terrible. And Aria goes, I don't know. She's like not paying attention to Spencer, really, but she says, I don't know. I mean, I think we could try to like look at it from Hannah's perspective.
That honestly, what? I would have been like, who are you and what have you done with Aria Montgomery?
Literally.
Who was inside of you? I would have ripped the silicone mask off her head and said, who's in there? Spencer's just clawing at her face trying to take off the mask because that was so out of character for her to defend Hannah.
And Spencer does. She's like, yeah. What does she say?
Ignoring that. She doesn't say really anything. And then so while this is happening, though, Aria is connecting this like burner phone to the Hastings Bluetooth system, like to every speaker in their home. She drops the phone in one of the boxes and then she leaves and says she has to go do wedding stuff. Literally, like the moment she walks over the Hastings threshold, the sound starts playing, to which I say, I know I probably did that on purpose so that Spencer would think, oh, that's so weird. The second Aria left. Spencer doesn't think that, but
no.
I
which
would.
There are multiple times this episode where I was like, wow, like any one of them being a team member with A is so out of the realm of possibility to any of them that even these things that should be raising warning signals aren't, because I they're know. Like, well, that's just that would never that ever would never ever be something any happen. Of us did.
Yeah, exactly. So the phone starts playing over the Bluetooth, a conversation that was recorded from years ago. It's Daddy Hastings talking to Mary Drake, and they're talking about Jessica's death. And at this time, Peter Hastings runs into the room. He's like, what is that? Where is it coming from? He's flipping the fuck out, searching for the source of this. Like, as he's searching for it, he's knocking shit over, breaking glasses. And what we hear, like, he says, I think burying a dead body in my yard is plenty. Mary says, I didn't have a choice. If it wasn't Jessica, it would have been me 6 feet under. And then he says, 6 feet isn't deep enough for you. So it's like a very incriminating thing. And then Vivi comes downstairs while Peter's slipping out. And he says, this is what happens when you open the door to a lunatic. And I want to say, yeah, Aria, this is what happens when you let that trash into our home.
Truly. Then once everything's kind of settled down, Vivi's like, oh, okay, so let's call the police.
Yeah.
And Peter's like, oh, it's okay.
I think
we're call good. Call the police. I think everything's all good. I think everything is just a little scare. I'll clean up the glass. You just pretend this never happened. And Spencer's like, that sounds perfect.
I know. And Vivi, because Vivi pushes it a little. She's like, no, I'm gonna call the police. And Spencer's like, Mom, let's not. And it's like this episode feels very team Vivi and Spencer versus team Daddy. And in this moment, it's like a kind of rare moment where Vivi's like not going to ask, but if Spencer says no, it's like, okay. But is Spencer saying no because it would protect her actual mother? Like, Jesus Christ, if so.
I think she's saying no because she probably already suspects AD and she doesn't want the police involved with that.
So, but yeah, Peter thinks Mary Drake planted it in the house.
Yeah.
So Emily.
At the dealer. Go ahead.
Emily's on the phone with Allison at the dealer in his dungeon. And Mona like walks in and she goes, make sure she takes her folic acid. And Emily goes, oh, that was Mona. She said something about acid. And I'm just like, sorry, Emily, you should know that.
Also,
your whole
Emily, you
personality
heard her.
Is that you're having a baby and you don't know that she meant folic acid. What
not
if
that
Allie
she meant
thought
it,
you
that
meant
she
like
said
LSD
that.
Or something like that? You know
not
what
that
I mean?
She meant that she
that's
said
exactly
that.
What she said. But also, I'm just like something about acid. Like you couldn't just if you didn't hear the first part, you're reading all the pregnancy books. You didn't know folic acid. Stupid.
Stupid.
Stupid. Stupid. Stupid. So that's another thing, by the way, from the Amanda Knox show. Amanda Knox keeps like hitting her head when she gets like upset and like it makes it look like she's like stupid. Why did I kill my roommate? Like that's like the vibe.
Okay, she did the Robert Durst, even though he never actually like, did that. It's Amanda. Just like in my brain now, he's in the bathroom going stupid.
Stupid. That's stupid. What they heard on the microphone, actually. We get unreleased tapes.
Of course I did.
Stupid. So Emily doesn't say that she loves Allie back on the phone, which Mona clocks, of course. Mona's like, you know, you can say it in front of me. It hasn't been a secret since we were in Brownies. Iconic. Love it.
And then we find out that Mona made an appointment with Emily's still on the fence about this whole thing. And Mona's like, look, I have something you want. The baby daddy.
Yes.
So you're going to have to deal with me because I made an appointment for the two of us to go to a fertility doctor as a couple tomorrow morning.
The fertility doctor who did Allison's procedure. She goes, don't you want to know who bankrolled it? Because that person might be your baby's daddy. It still takes two, hon.
The way that
it still takes two, hon, was so funny. They said, Mona, this is your Emmy contender episode. Like, here you go, Janelle. We did this for you. That's what this entire episode is.
Here's a song, just in case they start accepting TV shows at the Tonys.
She kills it. Absolutely. So they're going to go tomorrow morning. Wait, one last thing. Mona goes, we're going as a couple. Dress appropriately. She's like, I won't be seen. Like, no one's going to believe it if you show up looking like this. No one's going to believe we're a couple. Oh, I love it.
At the brew, Hannah and Caleb are like stressing about, well, Hannah's really the one stressing about having to talk to Ashley and then having to lie to Ashley. And she's like, she knows I lie when I talk in my sleep.
And Caleb's like,
you don't talk in your sleep. And she's like, I do when I lie to her.
And
no, specifically to her, which I thought was so cute. Specifically when I lie to my mom, I talk in my sleep.
So Hannah's like, look, I think I made things worse.
Wait,
by
follow
like
up for you, Hannah, though. Why would your mom know you were talking in your sleep?
Yeah, you're staying at the loft, are you not?
You don't live with her.
Do they not have a house anymore? Like, is Ashley staying there?
That's what I keep wondering.
Because I am like, why are none of these girls staying at their homes? Anyway, Caleb, so Hannah's like, I think we made things worse with the receipts. And Caleb says, well, the important thing is that Spencer's mistake is gone. And Hannah's like, no, because if Spencer can make a mistake like that, just imagine the mistakes we don't even
know
we made.
But Caleb, can you just admit that this wasn't the smartest way to do it? Because I'm team Hannah here.
I am
too. You dumped out the specific receipts that were going to be needed for the investigation and broke a pipe on top of them.
Yeah. It really, like, I don't know what the answer would have been. Maybe have Emily go in uniform and, like, wear a wig and wear her Radley uniform and go in there and act like she's, like, look, like, I don't know, like something, and just get rid of the one receipt. Like, I know they didn't have time, but it's like if they had to circumvent the 10 minutes, that could have been an option, maybe.
I guess, yeah.
Like, I don't know.
So Ezra comes over with coffee for them. This is how I know he and Arya are, in fact, meant to be.
I agree.
Caleb goes, got anything stronger? And Ezra goes, are you stressed?
Ezra almost falls out of his chair.
I'm the one getting married.
Because what could you possibly be stressed about? I'm the one whose best man might be coming in the aisle on Skype. He goes, I'm just fucking pissed off because this wedding is supposed to be about me and Arya. It's supposed to be about me and Arya. And now it's about everybody else. And I'm like, yeah, welcome to getting married, dude.
I just
You've
love
been
that,
engaged
like, within,
before.
Within 1 second of him doing something semi-nice for him, for them, except you know that they had to pay full price for these lattes.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. He's like, and do you guys want to do Venmo or do you have cash? After he puts them down, he's like, and by the way, do you guys just want to give me cash or do you need change?
And tips are really appreciated.
Yeah. So. Do you need change?
For me, okay. You just put it right in my pocket. That's perfect.
I will have somebody bring you change then. Okay.
Do you want me to follow them with the tip jar?
Yeah. Wow. you need. Okay. Didn't know you were hurting like that. Don't worry about the wedding gift. Jesus Christ.
He is so flawlessly able to derail the conversation to be immediately about him.
He's like, I just like, I wish we eloped. And I just want to remind you, Ezra, you could have. In fact, you had plans to, and then you said, psych, I gotta go.
Arya
get
was
Nicole.
Packed.
Yeah. Arya had the dress ready. Like, you guys had the tickets purchased. Like, you were fully about to do it. So then Arya walks into the brew and Ezra says something I've never heard him say before. He says, hey, sunshine. Classic. Huh? First of all, she's the opposite of sunshine right now. I would be like, hey, dark cloud of gloom and doom. Like, that's how I probably would have addressed her in this moment.
And she lives up to that name because they're like, I think Hannah and Caleb and Ezra are all looking at her like, oh, she'll come sit with us for a second.
Well, of course.
And she goes, hey, guys, I'm like really tired. So I'm just going to head upstairs.
Been a long day. Has it? Okay, Hannah was woken up by Detective Floozy this morning, but it's been a long day for you.
Hannah's
mom showed up
that.
Unprompted today, but it's been a long day for you. Anyway, Ezra goes, that, my friends, is what a happy bride looks like, which is actually a funny
I thought that
moment.
Was funny.
Yeah. Oh, this next scene cracked me the hell up. Mona and Emily at Allison's.
Mona's really selling
doctor.
It with the hand holding.
Oh, they're
like
holding
hands. Rubbing Emily's fingers.
Emily looks like she wants to crawl out of her skin like about a million different ways.
Emily's like, oh my God, I'm cheating on Allie.
Literally. She's like, Allie cannot find out about this. So Mona's like, yeah, we have always wanted a kid. We talked about having a child on our first date. And then he asks who's going to carry the child. And they both answer for the other person. And Mona's like, we were sort of hoping you could. It's like, Emily, if you aren't going to like act happy to be here, at least don't botch it. Like, at least
exactly.
don't.
Exactly. Which fuck, is stay exactly quiet. What you're doing. She is botching it. And then they're like, Mona's just, this is a masterclass now to do it. And this is how I know Spencer will always be second tier to Mona.
Sorry.
Because she is like, because Mona has the, when Mona is on someone's scent, she doesn't like have to charge full speed ahead at the target. Whereas Spencer is like a dog with a bone. Like she is like,
yes,
she's going to act as crazy as she needs to get
that's
the
answers. Really what it is. Mona can like keep her cool a little bit.
Mona's like, oh, all these degrees. You're pretty young to have all these degrees.
Yeah. She and finds her like, way into that combo. Like so naturally. Exactly. Whereas Spencer would have walked in and it would have been obvious she hasn't slept in days because she would like smell bad and have frizzy hair and bags under her eyes. And she'd be like, I know what you fucking did. And then she'd start like chewing on the desk. Like, and they'd be like, okay, ma'am, calling the police. It's Detective Floozy. He's like, come on, girl. Come on, girl. And then she goes and like kisses him on the mouth. And they're like, this girl's crazy. Take her back to Radley. And they're like, we can't. And they're like, take her to Welby. And she goes there. And she goes there. So anyway, Mona's not like that. So Mona is calm, cool, collected. She goes, oh, well, no wonder you're highly recommended. Look at all your degrees. And he asks who referred them. And they say, Allison Rollins. And then Emily finally does one thing right. She says, you may know her as Allison De Laurentiis. And yikes. The guys, oh, my God. Another thing I just remembered saying that full name. Mom goes, you know what Allison De Laurentiis always makes me think of? She always says De Laurentiis. I was like, what? She goes, that psychic from Real Housewives of Beverly Hills. And I was like, what's her name? She goes, Allison De Laurentiis. And I was like, no, but it is Allison Dubois, which I had forgotten her
name.
And
this is how I'm like, this is how I know Mom doesn't listen to a lick of the podcast.
And thank God.
Because it's like, if you remember that deep cut from Beverly Hills, then like you'll love our podcast.
Yeah, no, she, I think
you've got two legs.
Last time
we checked.
I did that quote for my mom's cracking up. I was like, you don't even know what I'm talking about when I say that. Anyway, so the guy's eyes get bright wide. Like, can I lie?
I'm stealing that.
Like, what's happening? Bright wide. Oh, my God. So Mona goes, I understand you're willing to work for an unusual arrangement. All cash, no questions asked. And he is panicking. He's like, get the hell out of my office. I don't think you're here for the right reasons. And Mona says, people do things for all sorts of reasons, don't they? I'm sure you
have
yours.
Like, what is this guy's definition of the right reasons?
No, I would love so that he could pay off medical school. We're going to find out. And he says, you should find another doctor.
Well, then let's just go through this. We go to the elevator and Mona stole a magazine from there. And Emily's like, nice job. What's that going to fucking get us, Mona?
And it's like, Emily.
I just cheated on my girlfriend and we got nothing.
Yeah. I just made physical contact with you. I basically made it to like halfway to first. And I don't know what we're doing now. Mona's like, but this is awesome. I'm like, Emily, use your fucking brain. Mona's like, well, he used his home address for this. So we're going to go to his home and we're going to go through his fucking mail. Like, that's what we're going to go do right now. Meanwhile, Hannah is walking around at this. What cabin is this?
It's like a park. It's like a state park, okay. I feel like.
I think it's just like
the maintenance shed for a park.
Yeah. She's trying to, one, clean up any evidence she might have left behind, but two, figure out like what the cops could potentially
Mona,
have.
I love you, girl. Hannah, I love you. We are off the rails today.
This is not the best use of your time. This is not the best use of your time. People are seeing you here.
And
you're
I'm also
a bit
like, squirrely. Yeah, that's exactly what I was going to say. Hannah, how many, I was saying we were off the rails, you and me, because I called her Mona three times before I realized I was saying
Hannah.
Oh, I
thought you meant Hannah, but that both are true.
Hannah, how much, I know you're trying to clean up the mess, but how much more of a mess are you making by doing this?
Exactly. So she's walking around looking for these shovels that they, obviously the girls dug the hole with or whatever. And so she's looking for those because she just ditched them. And it's like that was stupid in the moment. You shouldn't have just ditched them here.
Here's what I will say about this. By the end of the episode, what I love about Hannah and Mona's relationship is like, Spencer hasn't thought about any of this.
I know.
But
Mona has.
Thought about it. And Hannah, she didn't think about it as quickly as Mona did. But she is on the same path as Mona, whereas Spencer is like, she just didn't think about it.
Now, obviously, I'm like assuming this is like Mona's doing the right thing and not the wrong thing. And they kind of don't want us to know in this episode. Like, I feel like when they go to that end scene, Spoiler, we see that Mona has gotten all the shovels already. When we go there, it's not immediately clear that she's doing it to help Hannah, although I trust my girl and I know that's what's happening. But it's like, I love that Hannah hadn't thought about it yet, thinks about it. Mona has not only already thought about it, she's taken care of it, and she didn't bother stressing Hannah out with it. Like, that is the... That is
if Spencer had been doing it, Spencer would have turned it into Hannah's problem. Like, I can't believe you didn't think about getting the shovels.
And if Aria was doing it, Aria'd be like, hey, just sending you a selfie of what I'm doing for you. Like, Aria would have been like, when are you guys going to pay me for this labor? Like, it would have been this really, whole fucking thing.
Can
I have some gas money? Yeah, no, exactly. Like, and she's like, you guys have to pay for couples therapy because I had to talk to somebody there and it was a man. And Ezra, I don't know what Ezra's going to think about it. So now, can you also pay for a few sessions of couple therapy so we
and
can work
through
this? And
you can just Venmo me, no subject line. It's fine.
Yeah, no subject line. Don't, I don't want, my mom looks through my my transactions on Venmo. anyway, I don't know why I'm just adding in all these crazy things. But that's just something I love about Mona. And anyway, while Hannah's looking for the shovels, this guy is like there kind of helping her who works. He's like a groundskeeper.
I love when they give Ashley these interactions with people where like it's giving season one when she works at the dentist office and she just like has these little like back and forths with people of authority.
It's
where
giving,
she like
who's like the nicest teen, like who will be the nicest to the position of authority that we could put in a scene? Hannah. Sorry, Emily.
Exactly.
It is Hannah because Emily acts too squirrely and cagey.
Yes. Yes. Exactly.
You know what I mean? It can come off as rude if you don't know.
I agree. 100%.
It's like when there's like a really polite kid, but they're really shy. And it's like, well, everyone doesn't know that you're super polite right now because they actually think you're being rude because you're being so shy. And it's like common misconception.
I think sometimes I can fall into that category.
Maybe. But you're generally friendly. Emily has no idea what she looks like when she's walking around. Like, I know that Emily is friendly and I know that she's like a great friend and loyal and would help and all those things. But to a random passerby, she's not the most approachable.
No, definitely not.
And sorry, Hannah,
she's probably
like,
one of
shouldn't
the least
be
ones.
The most approachable, just given like who she was supposed to be in the pilot. You know, like she should be the least approachable, but she's not. Anyway, okay, so Hannah finds out from this man that the shovels were already confiscated and the police are running tests, apparently. And with that, Hannah is gone.
Hannah's out of here. He turns around, hoping to help her with her car, and she's literally vanished into thin air.
Yes.
So at the barn, Spencer is looking through the boxes that they were packing up earlier in the main house on the Hastings grounds. And Spencer finds the phone in the boxes. And Spencer calls Aria to be like, guess what I fucking found? Can't believe someone wants to blow up my family. I love when they do this in the scenes with Aria. When once Aria has done something, and then the girls are like, "I can't believe this fucking cold-blooded
monster." I know. Like, it's just like the last scene when they're like, "What kind of fucking monster would do this disgusting thing to this nursery?" Like, it's just horrible. And same thing now. Spencer's
Aria's like, "Well, at least the paint looks vegan."
Yeah. Right?
And the leather on those gloves on the mobile art, that's fake. So
yeah, it's fake
how
leather.
Much of a monster
it's
can they
fake
really
leather.
Be?
Yeah. So, I mean, at least they've got some of their priorities straight. also, it's funny because, like, Spencer's talking to Aria and she's like, I've called you 5 times. Why haven't you picked up? Aria, you're in literally no position to be, like, demanding Spencer to answer her phone. Look what you've just done. And Spencer goes, I'm looking at a burner phone that was hidden in a box that basically just blew up my whole family. And I just want to say, hate to say it, Spence, that ship has kind of sailed. Your family's kind of been blown up for a while
been
now.
Been blown up.
Yeah, it's kind of like...
Since your arrival, I would argue.
Kind of blown up. Yeah, exactly. So Aria asks what happened.
And she explains to her what happened. Because I don't think Aria knew exactly what was going to happen. So I think she's curious to know what exactly she did.
Yeah.
And Spencer's like, my family thinks it was Mary, which Spencer's having a really hard time understanding because she's like, I have this letter from her that makes me cry every time I look at it. And then there's like this monstrous other side of her, allegedly, if this is her.
Yes. And she's like, you know what? I'm going to tell my mom about the game because otherwise, like, she's going to call the police. And Aria's like, no, let's give Mona a chance to figure this out. And that's what Spencer, if you were really as smart as you say you are, you would have been like,
once again, breaks
who
out
am
in
I
hives.
Talking to? Like, huh?
Well, Spencer's so overcome with rage that Aria would suggest that Mona
could figure it out and Spencer couldn't.
Exactly.
She's like, we're going to rely on Mona to save us. That. She'd rather see us behind bars. And Aria, out of character, reminds her that Mona has saved them before and like, don't tell Phoebe anything. And then Ezra comes in and Aria hangs up.
Ezra is in hopes to cheer her up and is like, I think I found our first dance song.
If I'm
and
Ezra,
this is something in media that I've always kind of not understood. And maybe I'm wrong because obviously I've never picked out a first dance song. But, like, I feel like it's kind of, for most people, it's, like, an unspoken thing. Like, it's not, like, I found this song.
Yeah.
That is going to be our song that has nothing to do with the fabric of our relationship.
Right. And then also, like, the song that he played, I was just, like.
I thought it was going to be Sky Full of Stars by Coldplay at first, and then it wasn't.
But I was just, like, this isn't, doesn't feel like a song that Ezra would have chosen. And
I'm also, like, there seems like a pretty easy answer. The Fray.
B26. Yeah, happiness. Yeah, exactly.
They're gonna get a jukebox and the only playable song on it at the wedding is B26.
Yeah, exactly. And they're like,
the only key you can press is that. Which, guys, rest in peace. The tavern jukebox died.
No way.
And they replaced it with Everybody Hold Your Breath.
Touch tunes. Oh, that is really sad. Well, did they at least keep the like physical jukebox as like a
relic?
No,
they had to get rid of it.
Why?
I don't think they had the space for
it.
They
should have auctioned
it
off and like.
I don't have the full story yet, but I saw it on Instagram that it's gone.
That's really sad. That's really sad. Yeah. Well,
yeah.
Anyway, I also am just like, no offense, but like, why would Ezra choose the first dance? Like, I'm pretty sure Aria would get to choose.
Aria's like,
song.
Wait, I fucking wrote a song, Ezra,
you know that. Yeah. No, who knows where time goes? Is that the song? You know
what
the one that she does
that?
With Noel in the episode?
No, it's Jailhouse Rock.
No, it isn't.
No, I'm joking. Imagine Aria wakes her from her dream and she's like, Z.
She wakes up. She's like, I've got it.
Hear me out. Jailhouse Rock, kind of funny, kind of tongue-in-cheek.
She's like, and we do a little bit of this, we do a little bit of Hot Honey.
And you have a little like orange jumpsuit just for the dance
and a black eye just for the dance.
It's all a joke.
So he's talking about the song that he's considering and Ari goes, please don't make me dance right now. He's giving, don't make me sing. And he's like, well, we could just like sway or we could just listen. And she looks so miserable. He goes, you hate it. She's like, no, it's just, and this is when he says, you're just having second thoughts about everything else. And I just can't understand why Aria is surprised that he thinks this. Aria, look at your behavior the past few days. You don't think that he might think you're having... If I were him, I would think you were cheating on me. The way that you like are hanging up. You're all like crazy when some, you know...
She basically is. She's cheating on him with AD,
yeah.
Essentially.
And he's like, oh, so that's... Yeah, that's a good point. He's like, so that's what you were talking about to Spencer, right? Like... Look, I get it. There are things that have been done that can't be undone and can't be forgiven. And I'm just like, Aria seems like pissed that it seems like Ezra might postpone or call off the wedding right now. And he goes, you still have doubts about me, about whether you can trust me or not. Maybe there's a part of you that still hasn't forgiven me for using you and your friends for my book. And I wrote,
I'm like,
well,
that's
that
the
would
least
make
of it,
sense,
buddy.
Z. Like,
that's the least of
also,
it.
Also, why are we in such a rush to get married? Like, after everything
agree,
that's
especially
just happened,
everything that's going on, like,
why don't you guys just wait? Like, is the Nicole stuff just cleared up now? Like,
I feel
it probably isn't. You should just wait until the book tour or whatever is over.
I agree.
And then get married how you want to and then go elope in Italy or whatever. Like, it doesn't have to be. And it sounds
exactly.
like that would make everything easier. Like, I don't know mm-hmm. why they're rushing it like this. But she tells her that they are actually stronger because they weathered these storms, which
storms.
Is exactly something a groomer would say. And she hugs him and it seems like she's not sure.
Yeah. Outside the Hastings castle, right over the moat, Floozy follows Spencer. Like, Spencer comes out of the gate and Floozy comes out of the car. He's been waiting there all night. Oh my god, you're obsessed.
I'm obsessed. I love Spencer's constant reminders to him that they've had sex. Like, her constant, like, and I'll tell
she's
everyone.
She's just hoping.
And Floozy, I'll tell fucking everyone.
She is, but she's also, like, I feel like there's part of her that's banking, you know, like, maybe if I remind him enough, he'll remember how good it was,
how
and this can all just go
me.
Away.
He's gonna be like, Spencer, I just can't quit you! Like, that's what's gonna happen. She looks at him, she goes, when did we go from dating to stalking?
Spencer, you stole from his house.
Spencer, yeah. He's gonna say, when did we go from dating to literal murder and thievery? He's here to do a follow-up.
Which, and she's like, okay, then why aren't we at the fucking police station?
I didn't understand this next part. He goes, I thought you might be embarrassed to come down. First of all, when has she ever been? There were times she should have been embarrassed to come down and she wasn't. So why would she be embarrassed now? And he goes, well, I hadn't realized if we're talking with Ashley that Spaleb was ever a thing. Hashtag Spaleb.
And he name dropped it.
I love it. Spencer goes, why would that be embarrassing? It's like as if he's like, oh, cannot believe. I just didn't peg you.
You didn't peg you for someone who would want to like be with a nerd.
A techno boy toy. Yeah, he's homeless. I learned today. He doesn't have anywhere to live.
Which is kind of weird. Maybe I thought you were kind of into like super hot, yeah. Super muscular, super fit.
Yeah, it was just super sort of the vibe like I was getting from you. And I don't know, he's a little guys. Tummy. He's got a little tummy. I mean, I would too if I just sat at a computer all day, but I'm active. I'm out there on active crime scenes chasing criminals like you, Spencer. Like you.
And this is where Spencer says, okay, we're kind of blurring the lines between flirting. She doesn't say flirting, but she's basically may as well. She's like, we're blurring the lines between personal and business. And she's like, it would be a shame if someone found out about that because I know how important the letter of the law is to you.
Seriously, you uphold the law. And so she starts to leave and Floozy asks and is like, is this what this was all about? He goes, did your interest in me have anything to do with you needing a cop in your corner? Which like, Spencer, you can't get mad at him for thinking that because that is like your whole vibe. But I'm like, what if that's like his whole thing? He's like, was any of it real?
I just like can't get past the fact that maybe you didn't actually like me.
Was any of us real? Like, did you get the ick?
We played ping pong together.
We played ping pong. And she goes, if you have anything real to ask me, you can do it in your office under fluorescent lights. And I promise you, it will not be me who's embarrassed. Oh, stealing that. It will not be me who's embarrassed. So good.
So, Spencer goes in the car. Oh, but then,
wait, no. I love this too. A power move. She goes to leave. She goes to get in the car. And then she's like, you know what? This is my fucking house. And she stops, doesn't get in the car, and looks at him and just like waits for him to get in his car, drive away before she even gets in her car.
Genius.
And it was just like a good little power move, I thought. But then she does have a good little car.
And Mary Drake does the thing that scares like, every woman more than anything in the world.
No, Mary Drake, and this is how I know you're not a girl's girl. Okay, you're not a feminist, clearly.
We've been new about that because, like,
okay.
The whole thing with Jess, it's like, okay, I know you it's hate her, sister. But like,
you can't just kill your sister. Believe me, I've looked into it. Just kidding.
You can't just like get pregnant with like your sister's kid and then like think that everything's gonna be okay.
Also, like, look, I am not a Daddy Hastings apologist in any way. Yeah, he's hot, but that's the only thing he is going for, in my opinion. But what I do need to say is, like, Mary Drake, if you were pretending to be somebody else, like, that is, like, rape. Like, he didn't consent to have sex with you. So, you know, another reason that, I mean, if I'm Spencer, I would just, like, yes, I'm mad at my father for having an affair. But I'm also so mad at this woman for, like, doing this to my mother. And now I have to think about myself and, like, how I came to this earth.
I had a thought in today's episode about like Spencer being a kid and doing something and people around Veronica being like, she is so her mother's daughter. Or like saying things about like
how much that would hurt Vivi.
How common, like what they had in common and the things that seemed like genes passed down. Like she got that from her mother and Veronica and also like how lonely that must have been because you know Peter didn't want to ever fucking talk about it or like.
And I don't feel like this family really believes in therapy, you know,
exactly.
Like they sent,
so like
they
I just can't,
Spencer
I really
under the
feel
darkness
sorry
of night, especially with Vivi. This being the origin story. Like, yeah, it, I have a lot of compassion for Vivi. And I know that obviously Spencer is so close to this, but like, it does surprise me the lack of empathy Spencer's able to have for her mom, like in this, you know what I mean?
I agree
a little bit. Ugh. Anyway. So now I'm guessing Spencer wishes that she had gotten in the car before Floozy because, as we said, Mary Drake is in the back seat, puts her hand over Spencer's mouth and tells her to drive.
Like, so Mary, if you want to have a good relationship with Spencer, don't fucking do shit like this.
This is not just text her. Just text her, call her, put a fucking note in her car.
You're crazy.
So Spencer drives to the Lost Woods Resort. Mary tells her to park. Mary wants to go inside to talk and Spencer wants to stay outside. And Mary goes,
Spencer's like, I'm
how
good.
How sad. That it's me you're frightened of. Girl, what did you fucking think would happen?
What did
especially
you just
after
do?
This last thing you just did. Exactly. So Spencer's like, can you like give me a reason not to be scared? And brings up the phone in the house. Mary says she didn't plant it, but she is glad Spencer heard it. and that the hospital must have recorded it because she didn't even know. And she says the hospital has done a lot of heinous things. And Spencer goes, yeah, and so have you. And Mary goes, don't judge. No, I'm judging you. I'm actually judging you fully. Full send judge.
I feel like Mary has this false sense of security with Spencer because they both were in Radley.
Yeah. Well, and she's just like
completely misinterpreting the relationship.
But like, is she? Because Spencer has been like, mommy, like writing passing notes back and forth with her. Like,
yeah, I guess that's
true. You're not my real mom. Like, how I want Mary. She's just been
Mary
like
had
that.
One redeeming line later. We'll get there. And I was like, okay, this is your one gold star that I'll give you.
Yes. It's also interesting because Mary says you'd be surprised at the things you have to do sometimes to protect yourself. And I'm like, is she saying this knowing Aria planted it and that like, maybe Spencer will remember this and forgive Aria later. We know she will, not that she should. So we get a flashback. It's Mary in Hastings Castle with Daddy. Vivi had taken the girls away for the weekend.
Back in her more like Gilmore haircut.
Yes, exactly. Oh my God, the wig. So Peter's like, well, this is the last time you're ever going to be allowed in my house and you're never going to see Spencer.
And this is where you just see the level of delusion that's here, because Mary Drake, I think, thought that they were going to like cuddle up by the fireplace and reminisce about like their tryst and how amazing their daughter is and all this stuff.
And if not,
it's
that,
like, what?
She definitely thought she was going to like get visitation rights to Spencer or something, like take her for weekends. She's like, wait, I don't want to be robbed of Spencer. That's the only good thing I've ever done. And Daddy's like, so what was good about it? Exactly. Which I am like, hey, Daddy.
Spencer.
But it is like, yeah, he's like, well, you tricking me into thinking you were Jessica, or are you trying to take me and Jessica down? Like, you're not taking Spencer. And I will say, the actress who plays Jessica Mary, her eyes, she's a great actress. She gets these crazy eyes. And then Jessica walks into the house, and we find out she's the person, well, we already knew, but she's the person who signed the papers to put Mary Drake in a straitjacket. And Jessica is like, obviously coming in here to rendezvous with Daddy, and is horrified to see Mary standing there. She thought that they were taking care of this. And now we're back in the car.
So, yeah, Mary Drake was meant to be the one who died, not
Jess. Yeah, the pills that stopped Jessica's heart were meant to stop Mary's because they have the same DNA and the same medical conditions. But I'm like, does that make sense?
I don't know if that's really true.
I thought the same thing. I was like, is that
they're, like, talking
true?
About twins like it's a carbon copy of DNA.
Yeah, like, I know
don't
twins
know
who
exactly
act
right.
real different, you know? So Peter supplied Jessica with
the
meds.
Well, these twins arguably do act differently.
Yes, these twins, I don't know, there's something about them, they act a little bit different. There's just something different about the two of them. But yeah, Peter supplied Jessica with the meds, and they were supposed to use them for Mary, and then Mary intercepted them and, quote, stood up to my bully. And then she pulls the mommy card. She's like, I have been cheated out of so much, most of all knowing you. Like, maybe you should just stay with me. This could
Dude,
be a second chance.
This was
come
wild.
With me. It's giving Mother Gothel. She's like, you have
it's
a detective
so
breathing down your neck. Wouldn't it be nice to finally be free? Spencer's like, hey, I like him breathing down my neck. Okay, I'm a freak. I'm actually a freak. Haven't you heard?
And I wonder where I got that from.
Yeah, yeah. Like, I wonder which side of the family I got that from.
It's kind of freakish. You wanted to hear my dad scream your sister's
Mary's
name.
Mary's like, don't.
Instead of yours.
Call me that. Don't call me a freak.
stupid. And then she did a Robert Durst impression.
And we were like, okay, this is an insane crossover. Up until now, even like, take it or leave it. It's kind of weird, but not
Spencer
crazy.
Gets out. Spencer like, drives away while she leaves Mary Drake on the side of the road while she's going,
Janine Pirro. And Spencer's like, who is that? Like, that's what's happening. Anyway, Aria is at the loft, stressed.
And AD texts Aria, good job. Looks like I see your true freaking colors.
Did she say H-bomb?
Yeah, and I think that's like something that I don't understand.
Well, Hastings,
the hydrogen bomb.
Yeah, maybe that's what she means.
Maybe
nice
it's a
with the
double
H-bomb.
Entendre.
You've shown your
Play
true
on
colors.
Word.
Yeah, maybe that is what she meant. And so Ezra's like, you want butter on the popcorn? I'm like, okay, so things are just good now? You guys made up? Things are fine?
I never want to be in a relationship where that's a question.
Exactly. Of course I won't.
Just put
popcorn.
It on.
Ari's like, is it vegan? You should know this. Actually, Ari's about to use that and be like, we shouldn't be getting married. You should know that. at Lucas's loft, Caleb is setting the table. Looks like we're going to have a romantic evening. And Hannah comes in the house and she is fucking pissed and immediately starts ranting. She's like, I'm pissed about the shovels. I just spent 4 hours having Lucas's car detailed and Ashley Marin and her sleek.
That's another
Bob
thing that I
room.
Feel like is a, it's a tally on the list of things that Hannah, I think you think you're helping yourself, but mm-hmm. I think after a murder investigation, having any sort of detailing on your car is kind of a red flag. Just watch Hunting Wives.
Totally. There you go.
Did you finish?
No.
Let me know when you do.
Okay, I will. So Ashley walks in the room and she and Hannah have a really sweet reuniting moment. Caleb ordered food. He's going to go pick it up. Ashley brought wine. And she did hear Hannah complaining and she asks why she was detailing Lucas's car. And Hannah's like, oh, it's been my office on wheels. It's disgusting. And then Hannah tells Ashley that like Emily has kind of moved in with Allison. And Ashley assumes that that would be so that Caleb and Hannah could live together.
If I'm Ashley, I know that Ashley's more curious about what's going on with Caleb and Hannah. But if I have known Emily and Allison their whole lives,
I'm like,
and
I hear that
they're moving in together, I'm like, wait, what?
What? I know. I'm like, is Emily okay? Is Pam know? You know? So Ashley's like, okay, Caleb, what are your intentions with my daughter? Why are you back in Hannah's life? Did she need your help with something? And
oh,
this,
I love it.
Oh my God, stop it. He goes, oh, that's going to make me cry.
It made me cry a little bit too.
His eyes are welling up and he goes, well, I'm actually here because I needed Hannah's help. We needed to figure some things out, like how we felt about each other. We drifted apart for a little while and we almost ended up with other people, which would have been a disaster because I would have spent the next 50 years of my life kicking myself for losing the best thing that's ever happened to me. I can't imagine my life without Hannah. I don't want to. Ashley goes, what are you saying? He says, I want to marry your daughter, Mrs. Marin. No bells or whistles, just the two of us exchanging vows and finally
and that's
make
a callback
this
to earlier. He got a little bit inspired by what Ezra said when he was talking about just the two of them. But like, there's something just so much better about this than anything
like,
Ezra has ever done.
We also saw the whole wedding planning with Jordan and Hannah, and it was like, although on the surface it seemed so Hannah to have the mm-hmm. big wedding celebrations and the shower and all those things, like at the end of the day,
it's
I think that's
always
to Hannah,
been Caleb
like,
in that way. Like, I think that, like, you look back at her relationship with Sean, even, and it's mm-hmm. like there was so much pomp and circumstance. And
I think
exactly a lot of it is like, this is kind of what it is. I think with Sean, it was like, this is everything that she should be doing. She's the it girl. She's dating like the quarterback, the basketball player, whatever. And then all this, like, their prom king and queen, it mm-hmm. needs to be everything that this is. And then she meets Caleb, and that completely gets turned on
its head.
Shatters
it, yeah.
And then I think as she gets older, I don't think she expects herself to be able to get lost in that part of herself that might feel like how she felt with Sean. But I think that's kind of like what happened with Jordan. It's like,
yeah, well,
this is what it makes sense that I want the big wedding. It makes sense that I have this hot fiance who's Australian and rich and all this stuff. Like, it makes sense on paper. But then Caleb comes back into her life and it's like, but I don't really want that if it's not Caleb.
Yeah, everything means nothing if I ain't got you, as Alicia Keys said.
That's what they say.
No, Hannah literally.
And I
like
shiny things, but I'd marry you with paper rings.
Stop it, stop it, stop it. We're going to get there, stop it. Anyway, but I completely agree with you. And I think part of it too is like Caleb making the decision to leave that part of her life at that time. Like, I feel like for her, she was just like, okay, well, you know what? This worked for a little bit of time, but like, this is who I am and he doesn't fit into who I am. And it's like, mm-hmm. well, the truth is that part of you, it might be who you are, but it's going to look a little bit different than that. Like it isn't that version. If you have to try so hard to fit into this part of your life, then like, that isn't the part of your life that isn't supposed to be it. You know what I mean? Does that make sense?
Mm-hmm.
But I think, yeah, she was so like obsessed with being the it girl, wanting to be like Allie. Allie made sure that Hannah was always thinking about how she wasn't that. And it was like the worst thing that could possibly happen for Hannah was to not be the beautiful it girl. So I think in times of uncertainty, like Caleb leaving her and her not knowing what comes next or where to go, like she always has that to fall back on, like that framework, because she knows how to be the it girl. And so she can fall mm-hmm. back into that and she can fake it and she can probably be relatively happy as long as she's not reminded of like what she's missing out on, which Caleb reminds her of.
And Ash says, well, now we've got something to toast.
And Hannah's tearing up and she's like this sweet moment. Oh, it was just so sweet. And here we are. Oh my God.
Caroline, you mean you just take us through it?
Oh my God. So
did you gasp?
Yeah. I mean, yeah, Phoebe, I gasped. I had a lot of reactions to this scene. This scene caught me so off guard. And at first, okay, so we see Arya. She's in black and white, as we know she likes to be.
This is how I love the idea that Arya dreams strictly in black and white.
I know, literally in film noir. Somebody throws a bouquet at her and she's in a jail. Okay, but she's not a prisoner. She's not wearing a jumpsuit. I was like, please make this a Chicago crossover. Please, God, let me hear pop six. Like, I would have just fucking loved that. But of course, no. We get Jailhouse Rock, sung by one Mona Vanderwall. And let me just say, homegirl tears it up. She sounds amazing. Good for you. This is the musical number you deserved. Because remember, you know, she fainted when she was auditioning for the choir solo.
Right.
So she didn't get her big moment. Arya never
forgot that. Wait, Arya, that's kind of sweet.
That's kind of sweet of you.
Arya, you never forgot that.
You might not be a star in real life, but in my dreams, you're on the big screen. You're a star. So Mona's the jailkeeper also, which makes total sense. And Jailhouse Rock starts playing. Mona is singing it. And this is not just Mona singing. It's a full Jailhouse musical number. We have choreography. I guarantee you, we have the same dancers from that opening salsa scene are now in this scene as well. We had to get our bang for our buck, and that's why they said, all right, if we're gonna start with the dancing scene, we gotta get our money's worth. We're paying them by the episode, not by screen time. So let's get a whole number in here. And the dance is kind of iconic. And also, Ezra's being beaten to a pulp. He has black eyes. People are throwing him down steps. People are punching him in the face. And Arya is being led around. Oh, it turns out this is your wedding. This is you being married. You're getting married.
She's a toilet paper veil. Yeah, toilet paper bouquet.
Exactly. And so she's walking up these steps, okay, to meet her maker, who happens to be Vivi Hastings. I'm not sure why, but Vivi Hastings is going to be marrying Ezria today. And Arya looks at her and apologizes to her. And Vivi says, you're just a selfish little bitch. I wouldn't piss on you if you were on fire. God.
Could you fucking believe that?
Oh my God.
Oh my god.
Wait, right there. Oh my god, Phoebe. Okay. They said it couldn't be done. But we just fit a lot of words on my big toenail. I didn't even really know my kids do toenail tattoos, but I just got a tattoo on me. Phoebe? Oh, I forgot how bad it hurt because it's been in a second, but I just got a tattoo on me. On my big toe, and it says, hang on, it says, you're just a selfish little bitch. I wouldn't piss on you if you were on fire. Oh, my God. It says, you're just a selfish little bitch. I wouldn't piss on you if you were on fire, my big toe. And it's hard to read, and it's in American typewriter. Why? Oh my God. I hate that font. Oh my God, I need a pedicure stat. What if they can't paint over it? Okay, what if they can't, and this toe, oh great. Okay.
Oh great.
Okay, I just started a nail art trend. Oh my God, holy shit. Okay, well, let me tell you, I don't got much more space. I do not.
You only have a few more episodes left.
Holy shit, I'm out of breath. Oh my God, that was a really painful tattoo. Okay, don't recommend getting toenail tattoos. That's all I have to say is I got a new tattoo on me. And it's a toenail tattoo, and I don't recommend it. But kind of worth it for this line. Oh, pinky toe. Okay, that one was quicker. It just says hyphen Vivi. Okay, on my pinky toe. All right, the rest is still unwritten. Like, that's my new tattoo is on me. Oh, my God, Phoebe. Holy shit.
Oh, my God.
Holy shit. So then Arya wakes up,
and she has a tattoo on her.
Oh my God, she has a tattoo on her, but it's not on her big toe. It's actually a tramp stamp, and it says the same thing that Vivi said. And she was for my wedding, and it's like, Arya, what were you planning on getting married in, slut? It's kind of Spencer's thing. All right, so back to the show. Arya wakes up. She fell asleep watching a black and white film. Oh, that makes sense. What did she freaking expect? Of course you're going to have a
and
scream.
And AD has texted her and said, you've waited long enough. Your reward is downstairs in the brew. So she goes downstairs to the in-business, open,
the
functioning
lively
brew.
Lively popping,
and
one
she
might
starts
say.
Tearing it apart.
Absolutely. She's going through every single book. And I like that she takes the book that Ezra wrote, and she's like, ooh. Like waving it around as she does, just in case anybody forgot. Yeah, it's written by one Z-Fizz. She spends extra time with that one. And then she's looking everywhere. So we're back at the doctor's office. Emily and Mona have returned because they told the doctor, we don't really feel like we finished our interview. We have a statement from you paying off medical school in one night. We have what you want. Now give us what we want. Tell us the name of Allison's donor daddy or who handed you the cash. He says he doesn't have names. It was all handled electronically, but he can give them the donor's ID number and the girls are satisfied with this.
Mm-hmm. So at the barn, Spencer walks in. Pete and Vivi have found Mary Drake's letter.
Oh, and God.
This is, like Caroline was saying, one of
those moments. Well, Vivi's already seen it, right? Or no, she didn't.
Vivi did, but she didn't say anything about it.
Because there was that moment where Spencer was asleep and it was like in her hand. But did Vivi read it or did she just leave it? I can't remember.
No, I think she did read it and then she left it there. But I think that it's this moment, like you were saying, like, I think Vivi's been going through this alone for so long. And it's much harder for her to shove it under the carpet than it is for Peter.
Yeah.
And I think that it probably almost feels like, wow, now I can like share this with someone. I don't have to be going through this alone anymore. And so I think that's why she wouldn't have told Peter about it. And that's why she wouldn't. If she had confronted Spencer about it, it would have driven a wedge further between them.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't think that's what Vivi wants right now. But now she's like at Peter's whim. Like Peter's pissed about it. So she has to be.
And it's that moment of
even
like,
though she's not.
Vivi's
she's
making chill. It very clear. Like, I'll choose the kids. Like, I'm not. If it came down to it, it wouldn't be you. And she's very obviously on Spencer's side. And Spencer like asks him like, okay, did you do it? Did you try to kill Mary? And he says, did I try to protect my family from a deranged sociopath who wanted to shatter our lives? Hell yes! And I do it again! I think you do the same thing if you're in the same position, Spence. And then he walks out.
Spencer.
And this was crazy. The realtor is going to be pissed. Vivi hands Spencer the letter and goes, by the way, start unpacking. We're not going to Harrisburg. But it is sad because she's like, well...
Oh, this was really, really sad.
I can't really go be in the Senate. I'm forfeiting my Senate seat. And Spencer's like, but you're not guilty. And she says, yeah, I'm not guilty, but I'm married to someone who is. And she doesn't want to live in fear, which is really sad. She's going to miss out
Fuck
on this
you,
because
Peter.
Of fucking Daddy Hastings. So she goes to leave and Spencer stops her. And she's like, I need you to know Mary is not the one. I'm like, Spencer, just let this go.
She goes,
Mary's not the one who brought the recording into the house. And Vivi says, who did? And I was wondering, I'm like, did Mary tell Spencer? Like, we didn't see it. But in this moment, Spencer doesn't answer Vivi when she asks.
Oh, I think we brushed over this. Earlier in the episode, Spencer says something about, Spencer calls Vivi her mom to Mary. And she goes, oh, sorry. And Mary says, she is your mother. And
oh,
I think that might have also been something that Spencer...
Oh, no,
maybe
that's
that,
later.
Oh, it hasn't
it's
happened
later.
Yet. It
it's
hasn't
later.
Happened yet.
Yeah,
sorry,
yeah.
I was confusing the moments of the lost voice.
It's okay,
because
it is a really sweet moment. Aria's still looking at the brew, and she sees a letter, an envelope on the floor. She gets it. She opens it. It says, connect this. You're almost there. And it's a couple puzzle pieces. And then she looks up and sees Mona watching her.
And I'm like, Mona must be following her.
She has to be. So, well, certainly
like,
now
I don't think
be.
That, because Aria, like, doesn't do a good job of, like, I mean, I guess Arya's always a bitch, so maybe it seemed completely normal to Mona.
Yeah. Yeah, honestly, that's so true. She's like, I know you fucking hate me, so. So, Hannah, this scene, oh my God. I couldn't, especially because I just made, if you're on our close friend story, I just made an edit of the engagement garden that Travis set up for Taylor, but I put in the Hannah and Caleb tent from the first episode, not even knowing we would come full circle like this.
I forgot, too.
Hannah stumbles through the woods with a flashlight. Caleb is there in a tent. It looks to be the same tent from their fateful night in high school when she lost her virginity to him. And he just has decided, like, everyone's looking at him weird at the Radley. It's better for him to be off the grid. And I hate that she even has to ask this, don't you? Like, it hurts my heart that she doesn't just, like, know in her soul how bad Caleb wants to be with her. She goes, do you really mean what you said to my mom, or was that just to distract her? And Caleb says, I would marry you right this second if we could find a bear who's licensed. And she's like, okay, then. And she pulls out two plastic champagne flutes and some champagne. And then there are also two cigars in there. And she takes the cigar wrapper off, like the little paper band around it, quite literally the paper ring. And she puts it on Caleb's ring finger. And then he puts it on hers. And he says, when can I kiss the bride? And then they kiss and we get this sweet song. It's like, we are tonight. We are forever.
It's the same song that was playing. It's the... No. I wish it was. It's the song that Ezra played for Arya earlier.
Oh, I don't care about that. Come on. It should have been the song from when Caleb and Hannah did it. But it's just this cute... And then we get the like external flashback of their silhouettes in the tent. And it's just reminiscent of where it all began. And I could not love it more. What a great episode for Caleb heads.
So, Caleb heads... Okay, at the Lost Woods Resorts, this is the scene. Mary thinks that Spencer's coming to live with her. She's like, okay, is all your stuff coming later?
Yeah, I guess Spencer like left to think it over for a second. Like, what was that? Mary's like, where is all your stuff? I know you're not a light packer. But Spencer's not going to be going with Mary, of course. She's ready to leave this town, but not the people in it. I wonder if Spencer had said yes to Mary thinking they were moving to Harrisburg. And then when she found out they weren't moving anymore, she was like, I'm leaving anyway. Like, maybe. I hope not too.
And she says she can't leave her friends here.
Or her family.
And she doesn't want to leave her mom. And then she says, sorry. And Mary says, no, Spencer, you don't have to apologize. She is your mom. And it's like, I think Spencer really needed to hear that from Mary.
I do too. She needed like the permission to also not see her mom as someone who like stole Spencer away. You know what I mean?
And I do like, not that there's many moments of humanization for Mary, but this is a moment of like, she doesn't really hold the same ill will towards Veronica that she does with Peter. Like, she recognizes that Veronica raised her daughter and did a really good job
and she says, you're lucky to have Vivi. Like, Vivi's your mom, and you're lucky to have
her.
And she says Vivi. We were like, wait what so
which this is the greatest
this
hits
is a greatest hits up. So Mary asks Spencer if she knows who delivered the recording. Okay, so I guess she didn't tell her it was Aria. And Spencer's like, no, but I know it wasn't you. And Mary tears up and asks Spencer to forgive her. And Spencer's like, well, I already did, but you need to forgive yourself. And they hug and whatever. And Spencer starts walking away. And as she's walking away, she hears a noise.
Yikes. At the De Laurentiis dungeon,
Aria, did you have to dress up for this?
I know, but is that part of the deal?
Like, you being here, shrouded in darkness, in a black A hoodie and gloves, makes this seem really suspicious. If you were to just show up here in your normal clothes and be like, I got puzzle pieces, like, they'd have questions, but you could have figured that out on the way over.
Yeah, I really hope she has a plan for how she got these pieces.
So fucking stupid. I know. So I just thought it was weird she dressed up. She's putting the puzzle pieces on the board, and the phone lights up and says, congrats, your grand prize is right behind you. And then Aria turns around and she finds her file. Thank God. Now she can marry Ezra.
Oh, great. Oh, awesome. We go to the hallway at Mona's apartment, and Emily is there waiting for Mona. And she's like, I need your help with this phone.
Mona's like, hey, Em, we're not really dating. Oh my God. This was
Allie said you were clingy. I just didn't believe her until right now.
Yeah, I just didn't. But on it, hey, are you gonna make this weird? My door is right behind you. Can you please stop blocking my door, Emily? You are much stronger than me physically. Physically. We're not together. I'm sorry. I want to let you down easy, but I'm honestly terrified right now. I'm scared. I'm scared you're gonna Hulk out and hit me. That's what Mona said. Anyway.
And she's anyway, she asked for help on the phone that Spencer found.
Yeah, I don't know why I'm like being so out there today. I'm just like in a silly, goofy mood. I'm just being eclectic and kooky. Yeah. Emily has the phone from Spencer. She wants Mona to help them figure out literally anything about it. And Mona, we see this moment again where she's like obviously annoyed. She's like, why didn't you call Caleb first? Like, she feels used by these girls. And
she should.
Emily's like talking about the issue. Emily's just like on one, you know how she gets, and she's like talking to Mona about a million things, and Mona's like, too tired, goodbye, I'll call you tomorrow. Goes inside, doesn't want Emily in there, which is the only reason I was like, does she not want Emily? Like, is she doing something bad? But I just don't think she is.
I think she knows how it will look and I don't think she believes that Emily will. If Emily's the first one to see it,
right, that's a good
Emily
point.
Won't believe her.
Because Hannah's the only one who genuinely believes they need Mona's help and that Mona, like, is good and is gonna just help them. So I feel like it would just take so much explanation.
When we're walking in this hallway, though, and we see what Mona's apartment looks like, and then we go in and you see how her living room is decorated, I'm like,
Mona?
First of all, this doesn't look like the building we were just in, and also, Mona.
Mona. Weird vibes.
I saw your teenage bedroom.
When your parents want you to be yourself and you don't really know who you are. Yeah, exactly. Mona also has a zillion locks on her door, which is like so fun. Just such a funny little Mona detail. She locks a zillion of them and she goes and sits behind.
And you know Emily heard that.
You know Emily was like
deadbolt locks.
Like, Emily starts walking away, and at the click of every new lock, she's like, what the seriously? Like, she keeps turning back. She's like, oh my God. Ah, like with every lock, it gets louder. And Emily's like, Jesus, Mona, I'm not going to try to get in or anything. And Mona's like, I don't know. You're lusting over me. I can tell you're drool. You have drool on your face, dry drool on your face from looking at me. Oh my God. I can smell your pheromones, slut. Just kidding. You're having a baby. Stop, Emily.
Emily's like, stop.
Allie will not understand. Emily's like, stop it. Allie has ears everywhere. Stop it. Allie, I need to call her and tell her I would never cheat on her. I need her to know this. Meanwhile, Allie's probably cheating on Emily, pregnant in New York. She's like, oh, I'm here with, yeah, Jason. Not anyone else. Anyway, Mona sits at her computer. Well, you do this because it's kind of like the AC, and I guess.
She's sitting at her computer with kind of a sneaky grin. And then we like pan around the room and we see that she has like a blueprint of Liar's Lament and a picture of Liar's Lament. I'm like, how'd you get that? On her wall, blowing up really big.
Well, she has been studying it. It makes sense to me.
Who saw this, that it was blown up this big, that you have it this big on your wall?
She probably has like an industrial strength printer in her home. Let's not underestimate Mona Vanderwall. Thank you.
Mug shots everywhere. Pictures. It's giving early aughts A-layer.
It's giving Mike's mic board. Like, it's giving.
Yes, it is.
Yeah.
And then we continue to pan over and we see all the shovels in the corner of her apartment.
And I'm taking this as she's just cleaning up after the liars and she doesn't need to bother them with it. She's just going to take care of it because honestly, it's like, I get it, Mona. The more you tell them, the more you have to explain. They're not going to get it. They're going to ask a million questions. They're going to complicate it. And you just need to get the job done. Like, I get it. So that is the last scene. All right. So Phoebe's going to read the synopsis for season 7, episode 18. But remember, that's not coming next week. Next week's going to be a super fun punch bowl. We're going to dive into a bunch of the stuff. Lots of world building in our punch bowls if you haven't heard one. And then the following week, you will get 7-18. Go ahead, Fee.
All right. Season 7, episode 18. Choose or lose. Loved ones attempt to close ranks as the police turn up the heat on the liars. AD presents the liars with a choice designed to drive a wedge between them. That hasn't already happened.
That's kind of different. That feels like a different show. I'm not going to lie. Are you sure this is Pretty Little Liars?
Toby returns to Rosewood.
Okay. Get ready to get dicked down, Toby. Sorry. Sorry. It was
Aria makes a horrifying discovery.
Okay. A blackhead in the mirror.
that other people have internal monologues that aren't about her.
Yeah. She's like, wait, I'm not the main character in your life too? Yeah, that's the discovery. All right, guys, thank you for listening. Reminder again, go listen to our very fun Labor Day extravaganza episode. It was fun to record, fun to look back on the crazy journey we've had, and only onward and upward, y'all. Only exciting things from here. Make sure you leave us a 5-star review, especially on Apple Podcasts. You guys, it helps us more than you know. Join the Patreon. We have a lot of awesome extra content. If you are thirsty for more, that is where you're going to find it. We love you guys so much. Thank you for listening, and we will see you next week.
And splat.
Kill them all. Splat.
Of course I did.
Why is they have like a Western accent?
It's not, I don't know why that came out right. That was not a good one. Let me do it.
Sorry, I got on my hunting steed and I trampled them.
Killed them all, of course I killed them.
Stupid.
Save big on everything for your next project when you shop at Menards. Dutch Boy's DuraFighter is an interior paint and primer in one with a top blasting formula. It provides great scrub resistance and durability with remarkable hide and a smooth finish. Save big on Dutch Boy's DuraFighter paint at Menards and start your next project today. Plus, check out our weekly flyer on Menards.com for more great deals happening this week. Save